The grace of the Lord be with you. Welcome to worship today. We're glad to see every one of you. We invite you to sign the Friendship Register, the booklet you should find on the inside aisle of your pew, and pass it down. Glad to see all of you on this very special day as we worship God together. And we'll have several celebrations during the worship service, but glad you're here for that. Invite you to take note of the announcements in your bulletin. Get ready. There are lots of things going on. We're getting into a busy time of the year, so I've got a lot of things to remind you about, okay? First of all, the insert in your bulletin is about our poinsettia tree. If you want to participate in that, you can go ahead and start by filling that out. The deadline is December the 1st. Then, this is not in your bulletin, but on the bulletin board in the hallway, there's a sign-up sheet for a barbecue fundraiser. Clark Newland and Bill Joy are going to be chopping some barbecue, and then they're going to sell it to benefit the Community Life Center for the church. So it's $5 per pound. You need to order by December the 6th, and then pick up at the church on December 14th. Now, all that information is on the sign-up sheet, so you don't have to remember that, but just go by the sign-up sheet and sign up if you want to get some barbecue. We are providing a Thanksgiving meal for a number of families, students of Broadway Middle School. There's a sign-up sheet for that. You need to bring those items to the church by November 23rd. The youth are doing a fundraiser selling Mrs. Pumpkin's chicken pies, baked spaghetti, and cream cheese brownies. If you're not hungry yet, by the end of the service, I'll say that, and you'll really... Chicken pie, and the chicken pies are kind of regular size, but they also have mini chicken pies, the smaller ones, in case, you know, if you live alone or whatever, you won't have a smaller appetite. So they're selling those as fundraisers. They don't have them here today. They're taking orders for them, I should say. And so Julie will be outside the church today and next Sunday to take orders for those. They'll be delivered on November 25th. In addition, next Sunday, the youth are doing what they call a traveling turkey, which what that means is they're going to be going to different homes. They would like to come to your home for about 20 minutes, they're doing a kind of a traveling meal, and all they need is for you to host them for 20 minutes next Sunday afternoon. So Julie needs one more home, so if you would like more details or ask questions about that, you can see Julie Parrish after the service, our Director of Christian Education. Then over on the next page in the bulletin, let me call your attention to the shoeboxes for Operation Christmas Child. A number of you brought yours today. That's great. The deadline is next Sunday, okay? So next Sunday, bring your completed shoebox and $9 for shipping. And then if you bring it by next Sunday, then we will take care of getting it to the location for you. So the deadline for that is next Sunday. Now, this is something brand new, below that in the bulletin, Amazon Smile. How many of you have ever bought anything from Amazon? Okay, where have the rest of you been? Okay, all right. So, if you buy from Amazon, this costs you nothing. But if you will go to smile.amazon.com, in other words, instead of signing in to amazon.com, you got something against Amazon? Instead of signing in to Amazon.com, you sign in to smile.amazon.com. That's the only difference. When you do it the first time, you can select your charity. We are now listed there as one of the charities. So you have to type it in, and it comes up. But then every time, here's the kicker. Every time you shop after that, you have to sign in to smile.amazon.com. And then a portion of everything you buy, the church gets a check for that. So it's a great way for you to, in a way, provide income for the church without any cost to you. So the information for that is in your bulletin. And then on the top of the next page, the Funsters, that's just a group, anybody in the church who's interested, we're actually going to Pennsylvania this week, to Lancaster, Pennsylvania, so we'll have a great time Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday. But we're also going to Sanford on December the 5th to see a wonderful play and have a great lunch. Two tickets have become available. It was full, but now I've got two tickets. So if you are interested, we'd love for you to go on that trip. And you don't have to be a member of the church. It could be, you know, a friend of yours who wants to come. That's fine. Anybody. We're trying to sell those two tickets. So let me know if you are interested. And then on the back of the bulletin, you'll see that we would like to get your five-year pledge for our Community Life Center by the end of the month. Just this past week, we got our October figures, and we have now raised over $780,000, which I think is wonderful. And for the total amount, this is what appears on the in the narthex and up here on the display. The percentage is over 28% of our total project, which, you know, it's almost 30%. So I think that is great. So thank you for those gifts, but we do need your five-year pledge by the end of November. Now look with me at our prayer concern list. There are a number of people on that list that we need to continue to pray for. Hazel is with us today, and Hazel, we continue to pray for you. And then also ask your continued prayers for the family of B. Oaks. Pray for Norman and all of B.'s family. We had a service and witnessed the resurrection here on Wednesday for B, and we will miss her greatly. But just continue to pray for comfort and encouragement for them. Are there any other prayer concerns or praises that you'd like to mention today? Let me then invite you, as you're able, to stand together, and we'll join in the call to worship. Unless the Lord builds the house, the builders labor in vain. Unless the Lord watches over the city, the guards stand watch in vain. In vain you rise early and stay up late, toiling for food to eat, for the Lord grants sleep to those he loves. O Lord, we need you. We depend upon you. We worship you. Let us pray. O Lord our God, as we seek to worship you in this place, to declare that you are our God, our King, our Father, we pray that we would be aware that the most important thing we could experience in this place is how great your love for us really is. Sometimes we doubt it. Sometimes we deny it, and yet it is still true that your love remains. No matter what we do or don't do, your love is still there. Thank you for that kind of love. Help us to feel it. Help it to warm our hearts this day. We pray in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Please be seated. Let me invite you now to join together in the prayer of confession you'll find in your bulletin. Let us be honest before each other and before the Lord as we confess our sinfulness. Let us pray. You, O God, offer us more than we could ever ask, blessing us beyond compare. You feed us with compassion, hold us up with hope, and clothe us with grace. You call us to feed others and clothe them with peace, joy, and love. But we worry about the food on our own plates before offering it to others. We ensure that our own backs are covered before protecting society's most vulnerable. Lord, all we can do is ask for your forgiveness. All we know is that we're sorry. We want a clean slate. Help us to be messengers of humility, patience, and peace. Bind us together with you and with one another so that we may follow the risen Lord who feeds us and sustains us. Amen. I know that you remember the hymn, Come Thou Fount of Every Blessing. One of the lines in that hymn is, prone to wander, Lord, I feel it, prone to leave the God I love. Do you know what that is? That is sin. It's our proneness to leave God, to wander from God, and we all have it. Just recently, I heard about a speaker at a youth gathering who was talking to youth about sin and pointed out that there's an app for every sin. Realize that? He went through the list. For Instagram, there's pride. There's LinkedIn for greed. There's Facebook for envy. There's Tinder for lust. There's Yelp for gluttony. There's Twitter for wrath. There's Netflix for sloth. And you can go on and on. You know, it's interesting. Generations change and come and go, but the sins remain the same. And the Savior remains the same. Jesus Christ still came to be the Savior of sinners, whatever our sins might be. So accept and believe the good news of the gospel. In Jesus Christ, you are forgiven. Amen. Invite all the children now, preschool, elementary age, all of you come forward, and I'm going to give you a front row seat to a special event that we're going to have. As they're coming, why don't you greet those close by you and let them know you're glad to see them today.
I'll be glad to. William brought a lot of people with him today. So I want, if you are here for William's baptism and part of the family, please stand. Yeah. We are fourth generation. My dad, Russell Thompson, was baptized in this church. Then his son, my brother, Rusty Thompson. Then Adam was baptized, and now William. So it's very special for us to have this today. Yeah.
Start by asking.
Do you, the members of this congregation, in the name of the whole Church of Christ, undertake with these parents the Christian nurture of this child, so that in due time he may confess faith in Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior? Do you? Will you endeavor by your example and fellowship to strengthen William's family ties with the household of God? Will you? Let's bow our heads. Thank you for the gift of baptism, Heavenly Father. We ask for your blessings to be poured out on this precious child, William, a child of joy, a child of blessings, and a child of God. Receive William into the family of your church. Guide him in the ways you would have him go, and grow him in the knowledge of your love. In the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, amen.
invite you to look with me at our scripture lesson today, found in 1 John chapter 1, where I'll be reading verses 8 through 10. You can find that on page 1129 in your pew Bible. Look with me then at 1 John chapter 1, beginning with verse 8. Listen carefully, for this is God's word to us. If we claim to be without sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he's faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. If we claim we have not sinned, we make him out to be a liar, and his word is not in us. Friends, this is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Amen. A preacher tells the story of a cynical man who came to see him one day and said, "You know, you church people always having all this religious talk. Well, it sounds nice, but I'm not religious, and I dare you, I double dog dare you to show me one practical thing that Jesus can do for me and my messed up family situation. Don't just say a prayer and all that. I want you to show me something real." Well, how would you respond to someone like that? Doesn't it look like a lot of families in America today are messed up? We talk about changes in legislation to try to help raise the moral level of our country, but what good is all of that if our families are in turmoil? Our families, after all, are the foundation of our society. What can Christ do to help our family? That's what I'm going to talk about today. I'm going to share four things with you. Now, as I do this, you'll see I'm using family language, but if you don't feel like you're part of a family, of course, family can be defined in so many different ways. But if you live alone, feel like, well, family is like a mom and a dad and 2.3 kids, and that doesn't fit my situation. But I think you'll hear that things I have to say really apply to all of us, okay? So what can Christ do for our family? First, Christ can help make a new you. Christ can help make a new you. We read in 2 Corinthians 5:17, "Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come, the old has gone, the new is here." God is in the creation business. He can make you new. And just think how different your family would be if you were a different person, a new person. Now, usually we think in terms of other people. For example, I could think, well, I could be a better Christian if my children were better children. And I certainly could be a better Christian if my wife were a better person. Speaking theoretically, of course. We always think in terms of other people. I'm talking about you. You can be a different person. You can be. And just think how your family would be different if you were more loving, more giving, more patient, more kind, more understanding, more like Jesus. Is that possible? Yes, absolutely, but only by the power of Christ. I've told you before, in our church hut that's adjacent to our parking lot, we have a number of addiction and recovery groups that meet there. The 12-step recovery program begins with step number one. Now, if you think about this, this is a truth not just for people that are battling addiction. It's true for every one of us. Step one, I am powerless and cannot change or manage my life on my own. That's true for all of us. Step two, I believe in a power greater than myself that can help me. In other words, you cannot do this on your own. You have tried, you have failed. And guess what you've done? You failed and got up and tried again. But you cannot do it on your own. You must have God's help. Jesus, in talking to his disciples on the night before his death, one of the things he talked to them about was how that he was the vine and they were the branches. And he said, "You cannot bear fruit unless you remain connected to me, the vine. Apart from me, you can do nothing." Jesus said that very pointedly. The only way you can be a new you is by depending on the unlimited power of Christ. You might think, well, if I just come to church and halfway listen to the sermon and maybe give, put a little bit in the offering plate, that will make me a new person. No, that's not in your power. It's something that you must trust Christ to help you do. I read the story recently of a young couple, both professional people, who started going to church and became Christians. But guess what? They had problems in their marriage. Imagine that. Two Christian people going to church, but they still had problems in their marriage. The husband was selfish and stubborn. The wife was still upset about being expected to keep up with her job and taking care of their new child. They decided to stay married, and now some 30 years later, the wife tells about two prayers that she prayed every day that helped get her through that tough time in her life. Maybe this will help you. Here are the two prayers she prayed every day. One, Jesus, help restore my love for my husband. Two, God, help me keep my big mouth shut. When before she was praying, God, keep my husband's big mouth shut. Now, he might have needed to keep his mouth shut too, so I'm not taking sides here, but what she needed to pray was for herself, and she did that, and it started a desire in her that helped her become a new person, okay? Christ can help. Two, Christ can help you look at your family in a new way. Christ can help you look at your family in a new way. Sometimes we think of having Jesus as Lord of our lives means Jesus is Lord of my Sunday morning, or Jesus is Lord of my church life, but not all of my life, my social life. But he is to be Lord of all of our lives. If you have not been married, you will save yourself many heartaches by listening to God's word and letting him guide you in all of your relationships, but especially in your most intimate of relationships, the one that involves a promise to remain in sickness and in health, in good times and in bad, for as long as we both shall live. And when I counsel couples who are getting ready to get married, and we talk about those marriage vows, we talk about what they're supposed to mean, I know that neither one of them really knows what those vows mean. You know what I mean? Because they haven't lived it yet. Now, I don't mean that they are insincere. They may be, you know, as sincere as they could possibly be. But they cannot see into the future. None of us. Those of you who are or have been married, you think about when you got married, what you knew and what you know now and the difference. You could not see into the future and binding yourself to that person and saying, I will be true to that person, I will be faithful to that person, and what that would mean. You had no idea what that would mean in the future. We don't. But we can say, I don't know if I can do it. I don't know if I can make it. But with Christ's help, I can. It kind of goes like this. I get married because I love being with that other person. Being with her just makes me happy. It makes me feel fulfilled. I just love being with her. And I love being around her. And so I want to be with her all the time because she makes me feel so good. And then I get married, and one day, what happens? I might not feel so good. I might not feel so good about her. She might not feel so good about me, you know? And so it takes more than just that wonderful feeling to make a marriage. Christ can help you through those issues as you work through them. Christ can help you look at your family in a new way. Then thirdly, Christ can help you admit when you are wrong. Christ can help you admit when you are wrong. This is where our text from 1 John 1 comes in. We all have the tendency to justify and rationalize our actions. We all have our excuses, right? But in the Christian life, we begin by coming to God and admitting, I have done wrong and I need your forgiveness. Now, that's a start. If we can do that with God, why can't we do it with others? Sometimes that's harder. At least with God, I'm talking to someone who hasn't done me wrong to start with, someone who hasn't just yelled at me or called me names. But when I'm talking with a family member, it may be a different story. I'm talking to an imperfect person, someone who has not lived up to all my expectations, maybe someone who has hurt me deeply. I want them to admit that they have done wrong, not the other way around. But remember, a new relationship does not start with the other person. A new relationship starts with you, a new you. It takes more than the words, I'm sorry, I'll do better. Now, I'm sorry, I'll do better might be good the first time. But after the 21st time, you know, gets a little old. We need to back up our words with actions. A longtime Presbyterian pastor, John Huffman, tells the story of struggles that he and his wife, Ann, had with their daughter, Suzanne. He and Ann had their little arguments when the children were little, but when they argued with each other, they tried to keep it from the kids and not argue around the kids when they were little. One time, though, that was not possible, and Suzanne spoke up and said, Mommy, Daddy has been a bad boy. Suzanne was used to being corrected and being told that she had been bad, and so she recognized when her own father had been bad and pointed that out. Now, John was pastor of a large Presbyterian church. He was a well-respected leader in the community. But he said it took a lot of humility. But when his little girl pointed that out, he said, I had to go to her and say, Honey, you're right. I have been a bad boy, and I'm going to do differently. Well, years later, Suzanne grew up and was an adult. She was fighting a battle with cancer. 2 months before her own death, she wrote a letter to her father, telling him firmly but lovingly the things in his life that had deeply hurt her. This was not like a little child pointing out with a laugh, Daddy, you did wrong, you've been a bad boy. This is more serious and more lifelong. He got that letter and read it, and of course it broke his heart. But as he read it and reread it, he came to the conclusion, she's right. And so he spoke to her and told her, I was wrong. No excuses. You know, that is so hard for us to say. It's so easy. I know I shouldn't have done that, but it's kind of like even before we say the words of apology, we're moving on to the words of explanation and excuse. Well, yeah, I did that, but the reason was, I had a good reason. But to say, I did wrong, and I shouldn't have done that, and leave it at that, is so hard. And yet, Christ can do that in our hearts, help us come before Him with words of confession, admission, forgiveness, and then help us do that with each other. It's so vital to our relationships. Then fourthly, Christ can help you when your family does wrong. When your family does wrong. Read a story of a man who years ago attended the largest national gathering of the Kiwanis Club in Miami, Florida. They brought in an FBI agent as a special speaker to talk about the problem of drugs in our society. He was a tough law and order kind of guy. At the end of his talk, you know, he kind of started out slow and quiet and then kind of built up to the end to a crescendo. And then at the end of his talk, he said, And if I ever catch my son smoking marijuana or doing drugs of any kind, I will grab him by the scruff of his neck, shake him till his teeth rattle, point my finger in his face, and say, as long as you do that, you are not my son. You know what the crowd did? They jumped up and gave him a big round of applause. But the man telling the story said that he went out of there with a broken heart, thinking, that's no way to deal with our children when they are in trouble. That's the way to teach them the insecurity of feeling I'm only accepted if I can be perfect. Let me tell you, when you have problems in your family, and you will, some of them may be of your own making, when you have problems, Christ can help you stand by your family when they do wrong. Yes, correct them, guide them, but also love them, support them. That's when they need you the most. Approach the problems of others with this in mind. Number one, I am a sinner. Not number one, you are a sinner and you have done wrong and you better get your act straightened up. No, I mean, that may be on the list, but let's start with number one. I am a sinner. Before I get on my high horse and start cutting other people down, let's admit what I have done wrong. And let's look at what God has done for me. Even while I was still a sinner, before I even loved God or turned toward God, Christ died for me. So you see, when I did wrong, God didn't kick me out. God didn't say, that's it for you. God showed me love and mercy. Why can't we do that even with our own families? Can Christ help your family? Christ can make all the difference in the world. He can help make a new you. He can help you look at your family in a new way. He can help you admit when you are wrong. He can help you when your family does wrong. Turn to him, and he will guide you. Let us pray. Oh, Lord, we thank you that you are always there for us. And, Lord, with so many people here this morning, I don't know what needs are represented here, what personal needs, family needs, whatever they might be. But I believe that you are able to provide the comfort, the encouragement, the healing for every need represented here today. So I pray that each person here would turn toward you. Lord, I thank you for that great promise that you've given us in your word, that if we draw near to you, you will draw near to us. So help each person here today admit their own need, that they cannot solve this on their own, that it's just too big for them. They need your help. So help them to turn to you and knowing that as they turn to you, you will turn to them. Now, Lord, that doesn't mean that you solve all the problems of our life. It doesn't mean that you make all the bad things go away. But it does mean that you give us a different perspective. You give us the strength, the inner strength that we need. So I pray that we would be aware that indeed we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. Thank you for that promise. May we claim it for ourselves and for our loved ones and our friends who are in need this day. We pray for every one of them. We pray that you'd be especially near to them. Lord, I think especially of the family of B. Oaks. Think of Norman and his family. And I pray that you would provide comfort for them in this time of great sorrow. Lord, we thank you that we have the promise, not just that you are with us in this life, but the promise that indeed Jesus is the resurrection and the life. So we thank you for that as we pray together in the name of Jesus our Savior, praying together the prayer he taught his followers to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done. Give us this day our daily bread, And forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Let us give thanks to God for all of God's blessings as we give gifts to God's glory. O Lord our God, we give you thanks for every blessing in our life. We count each one as a gift from you. Lord, a gift that we do not deserve. Sometimes, Lord, it seems the more we have, the more we get tricked into thinking that we have because we are better than others. But that is not true. It's all a gift from you, and so we thank you for every gift. We pray that you would keep it in our hearts, not to hoard, but to share. That you would bless us that we might be a blessing. That we would take those blessings and then continue to pass them along to others so that they might experience the love of Jesus Christ in a real way. Not just in words, but in actions. We pray through Jesus our Savior. Amen. Adam and Lauren, we're so glad to have you and William and your whole family here this morning. And we pray for God's blessings on you as a family. Now, as you go from this place, you came this morning with a problem. I know you did. All of us did. There's some problem somewhere in your life. And my word to you is, don't try to solve it on your own. You're not big enough. Christ is big enough. So as you go from this place, may you know the love and presence of Jesus Christ in your life, and may you know that Christ can give you the strength to face whatever your problem is and give you grace to get through it. Amen.